message from this morning's three readings speaks loud and clear to us. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. The message of love, our love of God, love of ourselves, love of our neighbour. A short four-letter word with so much weight and meaning behind it that we can spend a lifetime working out what it means to God, to us, to others, and how we live our lives. 3 weeks ago, Charlie, Sam, and I attended a conference of about 200 people in ministry in this diocese, including readers, self-supporting clergy like Sam, active retired clergy, and a few paid clergy. The conference was entitled Living God's Love with Generosity, Joy, Imagination, and Courage. Living God's love, which has been this diocese's vision for several years, has now been revised with an emphasis on doing this with generosity, joy, and imagination and courage. The word conference might bring to mind long sessions listening to speakers who forget their brief and go off on some tangent of their own concern, but not of the gathered audience. I guess that could be said the same for some preachers. Thankfully, this was not the case at this conference. We were particularly blessed to have as our speakers Adrian and Bridget Plass. You may have heard of them. Adrian being a well-known humorous Christian author, perhaps best known for his book, The Sacred Diary of Adrian Plass, 37 and three quarters. Their imaginative and amusing exploration of living God's love with generosity, joy, imagination, and courage through dialogue between themselves and us led to more laughter than I've ever experienced at such events. Undergirding their gift is their long-standing, deep, personal relationship with a loving God. Whilst acknowledging the difficulties of always living God's love with joy, they were able to convey a great atmosphere of amusement and indeed joy. They also spoke, which particularly struck me, of how as Christians we can be reluctant to be truthful about our actual mood when asked, "How are you?" We often politely reply, "I'm fine," when actually we are feeling unwell, downhearted, or even lacking in love. Adrian also told us that the most common need that they hear in their wide and extensive worldwide ministry is, "I need to know God loves me. I need to know God loves me." Love and joy in God and Christ can be something that it is hard to describe, but at its best, it's what we experience, perhaps unexpectedly, when the chips are down. It's what keeps us going when doubt creeps in and despair takes over. Adrian described his first experience of such joy as like a spring, when he came to faith as a young man, and which every now and again he still feels. Each of us may have our own way of describing how we experience God's love, for it's only by our personal experience of God's love for us that we can love him in return. A natural development from knowing that someone loves us is being able to love and reciprocate that love. But within the second commandment, to love our neighbour, is a requirement to love them as we love ourselves. Loving ourselves without making ourselves the centre of our world may be very difficult, especially for those who've been brought up within a negative or abusive environment, which has led to poor self-image. But within the healing love of Christ, all things are possible. In this service, when we come up for communion, we have the ideal opportunity to receive that healing love through a prayer for Christian healing. So what of loving our neighbour? Our neighbour, as we have explored before, especially in relation to Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, may or may not be a person we readily warm to, but still we are called to love them. What Jesus expects of us is that we are to reach out to those we would prefer to pass by, those we would prefer to ignore or overlook. That might be by just a smile, a prayer, a one-off act of support, or a much longer and deeper involvement. Each of us will know who we personally prefer to pass by. In this world of great suspicion and turmoil, our inclination may be to retreat to who and what we know best, to build barriers instead of breaking them down. On the morning before I wrote this sermon, my ears pricked up as I listened to Thought for the Day on Radio 4. The speaker was Akhandi Das, a Hindu theologian, who quoted from George Saunders' acceptance speech made on the 17th of October when he was awarded the Literary Booker Prize, where he said in defence of the importance of culture, "If you haven't noticed, we live in a strange time. So the question at the heart of the matter is pretty simple. Do we respond to fear with exclusion and negative projection and violence? Or do we take that ancient, great leap of faith and do our best to respond with love? And with faith in the idea that what seems other is actually not other at all, but just us on a different day." I don't know what faith George Saunders was referring to. It may not have been a religious faith. But it could be a challenge to us to respond with love when those around us may choose the opposite response. We are called to live as we heard Paul strive to live when he visited the early church in Thessalonica, to be gentle, deeply care for others, sharing the gospel and ourselves. Living and loving in such a way does indeed take courage in the face of opposition. But with the right motives, prayer and support of our fellow Christians, we can be enabled to live God's love with generosity, joy, imagination and courage. A sacrificial love, a love that puts others first, just as Christ did by dying for us on the cross. Amen.